It's time to get into the Inside Edge.
Showtime, he scores!
The latest about the CBJ and the NHL.
Presented by your Greater Columbus Kia dealers and the new 2019 Kia Sorento. Conquer your mountain.
Here's your hosts of the Inside Edge, Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley.
Welcome to the Inside Edge presented by Kia here on 97.1 The Fan. A new season is about to get underway of Blue Jackets hockey. I'm Bob McGilligan, joined once again this year by Jody Shelley. As training camp is opening this week, Jody, actually, we're ahead of the curve this year. We're getting out in front of it a little bit early, giving you a look, a little insight to the Blue Jackets during training camp this year prior to the regular season beginning. But let's start this show tonight by talking about the day that it is. September 11th, 18 years ago, we all know what happened on September 11th in the United States, the terrorist attacks, a day that really changed not only the nation, it changed the world. And I was really, really close to it that day. I was way closer than I ever wanted to be or thought I would be, literally about a mile from the crash site in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, when I was at my in-law's house. So it's a day that still brings back great memories to me. I can't believe it was 18 years ago, but here we are once again reflecting, and reflecting is a word. It's not really celebrating. It's reflecting on what we are as a nation, as a people, and as a world, I guess.
Yeah, and it's amazing because, you know what, we all know where we were at that moment, and I think the feeling was no matter how close we were or how far we were, we were all in disbelief and shock and wonder what this meant to the world and the rest of our lives moving forward. And I remember where I was. We all remember. I was at the Upper Arlington track. We just finished running our 2-mile test for the Columbus Blue Jackets training camp, and we got in the van, and we heard it on the radio from the guy that was transporting us back to Nationwide Arena. And, yeah, you know, we all went through the same thing. But it is the day that changed the world and unified a country. It started in New York, the way that that city rallied and brought itself together, and the leaders and the people of New York. A great sense of pride, a great sense of we'll rise above. And that is really what, if you look back to 18 years ago, if you've never been to the World Trade Center, the site there and the memorial that they have, it is a sight to behold, and you feel it there. It's amazing what they've done. It's you know what? It's a day to remember and reflect and tell those who weren't around for those days of what happened and what it meant, and just moving forward, how proud we are to be a part and to be a part of the United States and to see how the strength has really grown on this day.
You know, it's funny. I slept in that day, and I came downstairs, and my mother-in-law had the TV on, which was normal, usually some kind of a news program in the morning. And I came down and I saw the World Trade Center with black smoke billowing out of it. And yet they were talking about the Pentagon. So I'm completely confused. I just got up. I don't even have my bearings about me. Why am I looking at this picture? They're talking about something else. They switched to the Pentagon. Now I'm watching that. Then it's back to the World Trade Center. And then as I'm sitting there watching it, before you know it, there is a boom and the entire house shakes. And then all of a sudden, the fire siren starts going off at the Volunteer Fire Company. I mean, immediately.
You were that close to it?
I was that close to it, yeah. And so my brother-in-law comes down the stairs and kind of runs out into the street. And he comes back in and grabs his keys and takes off. And then the word starts coming in that there was a plane that went down not far. Now, when I thought of a plane, rural Pennsylvania, I'm thinking small plane, must have crashed somewhere, not knowing that it was one of these jets that was involved in the September 11th attacks. But, yeah, I was that close. I was up there not far from the site where there was a smoking hole in the ground. When the state police and the FBI showed up, there were a number of people there with me, and we were kind of overlooking this, and all of a sudden these unmarked cars and marked cars came flying in there with the sirens going and the lights flashing. And somewhere, because at the time I was working in Syracuse with the Crunch, and the station, one of the stations we were on was a news talk station, so I thought, well, I guess I should call in because I'm here. So I was actually doing a report. And I was on the phone in my car, and I was doing a report, and an officer came up, and he said, hey, you can't be here. You got to go. Somewhere there's a tape of that somewhere up there. But so I left there. By later that day, we were getting on a bus and being taken up near the crash site. I spent about a week of going to FBI press conferences at 10 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. You know, fortunately for me, I could just drive there. I mean, this happened in the middle of nowhere. There were people that were staked out there, you know, getting fed by the Red Cross because there was nothing to eat or nowhere to go. But it was surreal, and it was really a big reminder to me of why I love what I do so much. And because it's just that, you know, what we do and what we'll talk about tonight, what we'll talk about this entire season, it's fun and it has a lot of meaning. But in the big scheme of things, who cares? Who cares if this guy gets traded? Who cares if this guy leaves as a free agent? Really, in life, it was those things that mattered. And so it was a week that will have a profound effect on me. And it's kind of ironic that now that I'm here in the NHL, training camp routinely starts September 11th, 12th, 13th. It's always at this same time. So it kind of gives me a chance to reflect upon that and the pride that you talked about, and also about, you know, what I do, how appreciative I am of what I do, and how much I like to keep the real world out sometimes and just be involved in this somewhat fantasy world that we work in.
Well, and you know what? It's a tragedy, but the people who rose up the highest were the first responders and the military members and the people who serve our country. And I think that that's where the pride of the American flag and what it meant to that day. And you're right, moving forward, there's going to be moments this season of a military and first responders nights where we honor those people, and we don't do it enough. So this is a day of reflection, but I think it's a day of heroes, too. And I think you're right, Bob. To be that close, wow, that's really close. I didn't realize that. So, you know, we all know where we were, and we all know what happened. But you're right, this is a... this is a day that we'll remember, but it's also a day where, hey, training camp is always around this time. So it's a reminder, it's a reflection of right, we are covering a sport, a great sport, and we're excited, but hey, there's more to life than the fantasy of hockey, if that's what you're saying.
I was also there waiting for my first child at the time, who was due around that time. And we always joke that he came late, and maybe it was because after that he was just doggone afraid to come out. Didn't come out until the 27th of September. So, 18 years. It's hard to believe, but it is that day. It is now Patriots Day. And we, you know, just from what we're talking about here, thanks to all of you who are first responders, all of you that are in the military. There are people that enlisted in the military because of this event that weren't even alive when this event happened, now being 18 years. So just thank you to each and every one of you. And as you can tell, we haven't forgotten. Now, how you shift from that into Blue Jackets preseason training camp, well, we'll just do it because that's what we do. The Blue Jackets just had the prospects go up to Traverse City. They played in that tournament. They finished third in that tournament. They had a good showing. Some guys really had a good showing, like Alexander Texier. It's funny to me because here's a guy that, as we all well know, last year he goes from playing in Europe to coming to the United States to playing in the American Hockey League, to playing in the National Hockey League, to scoring a National Hockey League goal, to playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, to scoring a Stanley Cup playoff goal, and now he's in Traverse City at the Prospects Tournament. But that is, and I know that you can relate to this, it's somewhat of a humbling experience and a reminder that no matter what you've had happen so far, there are still no givens in this business, and there's a lot of work to be done.
Well, yeah, and a lot of work has been done. I mean, you know, look at the off season, and it still is the off season today. I mean, there's no reporting until tomorrow. And you said hockey is about to start. We're probably going to say that for another few weeks because we are a few weeks from opening night. But the build-up, the behind-the-scenes is what we're going to try to give people in this radio show for the next few weeks here leading up to opening night. And, yeah, the training is done. I'm sure he left here with a great amount of satisfaction of achieving a childhood dream. I'm sure he had a great offseason, but I'm sure the fire is even brighter. You know, when you get a taste of something that you're fantasizing about or something you don't think exists, like to play in the National Hockey League, you want more. You want to be there. So what does that mean? That means that there's a couple spots open in this roster that, you know, don't forget about the guys that were in the American Hockey League last year, guys that played in Europe, guys – everybody that's coming to this training camp and all these young guys that were in Traverse City that do get the invite to main camp this week, they understand what's at stake, and this may be their opportunity or their biggest or their only opportunity. And I think Texier is a very interesting forward for this team. He's a guy we've heard a lot about, and he showed up as advertised. And I like that. You know, wasn't too much hype about this kid. It was almost like they told us exactly what he was. He was a skilled forward with a little bit of bite, and we saw him go head-to-head with some of the best players of the Tampa Bay Lightning in that series. He got overwhelmed a little bit by the Bruins, but I think that that's what happens after a couple weeks in the league where you think you figured it out. And now he's coming in. He's definitely going to be someone to watch, and he's definitely a guy that's got great skating ability, and I think he's on the radar in a big way. He'll have every opportunity to make this team here with the Columbus Blue Jackets. There's some great storylines. Some of the storylines we'll go over in this show, they are ones that people have been asking us about all summer long. And last year was Bobrovsky and Panarin. Those guys took the so long route, they're gone in their own ways. Bobrovsky's gone to Florida. He's a member of the Florida Panthers. Not many fans down in Florida. I know the weather is good. The rink is in the middle of nowhere. It's like 45 minutes from Fort Lauderdale. It's an hour or more from Miami. So Bob chose that place. Good for Bob. Good luck. And then Panarin chose an original six. And, you know, the Blue Jackets made an outstanding push to keep him with a contract they've never offered anyone in this franchise history, over $94 million in 8 years. They took their last swing at him, and he turned that down and went for less money in an original six. Good for him. Good luck to him, too. Those guys did a great job as Blue Jackets. But now the current roster and the openings in those positions, what are we going to see?
As a guy that was drafted by this organization and, you know, came in to this organization when it was very new, the guys that are left, and I had a great conversation with Seth Jones at a ticketing event last week, and he talked about it. John Tortorella has talked about it. What can you say about players that are in the city that they want to be in? Zach Werenski talked about it when he just signed his deal a couple of days ago, wanting to be in Columbus. Are we overblowing that because of that situation with Panarin and Bobrovsky after having to listen and read and hear everything for a year before that ever happened? How much, in your opinion, as a former player, how much is there to put upon when guys are playing where they want to play, with guys that they want to play with, and don't have to face those other distractions?
Yeah, I wasn't drafted. I was a free agent. I know what you meant, though. Cultivated in the organization, in the minors, brought up to here. You know what? I don't think you're overblowing that. I think that it is it's a real thing. And I think that there is a, you know, when you're trying to build, there's a, I don't know if you call it a fellowship where, you know, you have each other's back. You appreciate what your teammate is doing for you, whatever it is on any given night, because you're all in the same boat and you feel like, you know, you understand that this is a part of the process. These guys have been through it since about 4 years ago, you know, when they started really making the playoffs and feeling like they deserve to be in the playoffs, and that's not the question mark. And they had disappointments. They had firsts of, like, winning the first ever playoff game. Winning the first ever playoff series, losing to the Washington Capitals after being up 2-0. So, you know, when you walk in training camp, you realize this year when you walk in, it's been a long summer since you lost to the Boston Bruins. You've got to go through training camp, which is long, with John Tortorella. Then you've got to go through and grow together and figure out what you are for 82 games and battle to get in the playoffs, which is the playoffs. And then once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. So I think the value of going through that with people and players that want to be a part of the organization and come up in this organization, and I go back to the winning in this organization in Cleveland. That group that won in Cleveland, they have a special bond, and we don't know what the bond is like. We can only imagine, but they won together. A bunch of those guys are still a part of this organization. They pull for each other. They understand each other. And I think that's a key part of what happened in that year 3 years ago. Was it 2015? And what happened now? I think that that'll carry them. And I think that is where the value is. Because if you're here, and we all know that you don't want to be here, Bob, even as a radio announcer or a TV host, whatever you're doing here, it's kind of like, okay, you know, I know that you're here and you want to be a part of this. But, you know, it'd be even better. It'd be more satisfying to me as your teammate if I knew that this is, you're all in, and you're all in for a long time.
So the distractions are gone. Training camp opens tomorrow. Jody mentioned that special team in Cleveland a couple of years ago. There are a couple of those guys that I think this year are going to be relied upon even more heavily than they have been in the past. And if they can meet that challenge, it'll be good for the Blue Jackets. We'll talk about that and much more as we continue with this first episode of The Inside Edge presented by Kia on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to The Inside Edge. It's presented by Kia. I'm Bob McGilligan alongside of Jody Shelley. And before we went to break, I told you that there would be guys that played on the Cleveland championship team from a couple of years ago in the American Hockey League that the Blue Jackets have even higher expectations out of this year. Jody, the guy that steps to the forefront, I think without question, is a guy that did play in that playoff series. And he started it, but he didn't finish it. And that's goaltender Jonas Korpisalo. If you recall, he had a good year in the NHL. He went back to Cleveland. He started in the first series. He struggled. He got replaced by Anton Forsberg. Forsberg never gave him the net back. Now, I'm not saying that to be a downer on this whole thing, but my point is, now here's a guy that has 3 years of backing up Sergei Bobrovsky. His opportunity is here now for the Blue Jackets to be successful. And it's him and Elvis Merzlikins, so they're going to battle it out. But I think for them to be successful as they can be, for Jonas Korpisalo, this time when he gets the net, he's got to find a way to hold it and be that guy.
I agree. And look at his body of work and look who he's learned under. Sergei Bobrovsky, off the ice and on the ice, is an elite category, if not the leader, for attention to detail when it comes to that position. I've spoken to Jonas, as you have too, in the last couple of years, about watching Sergei Bobrovsky. And we've watched him grow up, even in that sense, of understanding what it takes to be one of the best, if not the best, in the National Hockey League. So I like that for Jonas Korpisalo. I like the body of work. He played 20 games last year. His goals against average was over 918, which is good. I mean, he proved himself that with some reps, he can play. Now, I look at Jonas and I pull for him in the sense that this is probably the most important 65 days of his NHL career, because he's a guy now, and you got to walk in his shoes for a second here. He knows Bobrovsky is leaving. He hears quiet words about this guy that's playing over in Switzerland and Elvis Merzlikins. And I'm telling you, man, as a fourth-line winger, I speak from experience in the National Hockey League, there's always someone chasing your tail. And if Jonas Korpisalo is going to be a number one goalie in the National Hockey League at 25 years old, he's never going to have a comfortable day in this league. And I mean that there's always someone. If it's not Elvis, it's someone else is going to be tracking him down to be that number one. He's not going to be able to be the number one that says, I need this. He is going to have to grind it out. And I think he's that type of person. Now, so he knows Elvis is being talked about. He understands this is his opportunity. He's a big guy that's worked hard at home in Finland. He's got a great relationship with Manny Legacy. Everyone's asking about Elvis, and some people have question marks already about Korpisalo. So I see him in a role of he's got to prove himself. And maybe that's what I'm trying to say. He's got to prove himself every day. Every single day he's got to get in there. And I think he's played that to this point. But hopefully he understands, and I know he does, this training camp and into the season is his greatest opportunity of his life to take this number one goalie position and push whoever's chasing him and give him himself a little breathing room in that department.
I think if there was a knock, or the knocks that there were, there are always knocks, the knocks that there were on Jonas when he first came in, I just remember talking to people in the first year, maybe even into the second year, but definitely the first year, was practice habits. Needed to get better in his practice habits. Basically needed to treat, because you're a backup to Sergei Bobrovsky, you're going to play once every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You've got it. It's not fair. You've got to treat that practice like it's a game, which, you know, it's hard to do. But that's the skill for a backup goaltender, right? So he needed to get better at his practice habits. But I think he's done that over the past couple of years. And the other name that you mentioned was Manny Legacy. And I think that Manny has been really good for him. And that's not a knock on the previous goaltending coach here, Ian Clark. It is the fact that when Jonas was in Cleveland, he worked with Manny Legacy. They understand each other. Jonas is a funny guy. He's got that dry sense of humor. He is very well understood by someone like Manny Legacy. I think Manny can get the most out of this guy. I think if he does what the Blue Jackets hope that he can do and what he needs to do, then Manny Legacy will have a big hand in that because of their relationship and, you know, how they interact with one another. But, you know, really it's – you do pull for him because of – well, you need him. As a fan, you need him. But he's just such – a good guy, and we've seen a million guys like this. You had teammates that I'm sure you pulled for as long as they weren't trying to take your job. And, you know, this is one of those guys that you really hope that he locks himself in early here, and he's going to have an edge. Let's be honest, because John Tortorella has seen him play in goal in the National Hockey League. He knows who he is. He likes him. He's going to give him every opportunity. So the edge is his, but it's all about what you do with that opportunity.
I agree, and they're going to give him a fair shake. And that's one thing about John Tortorella. He is fair. And he, you know, he's pulling for, I mean, the goaltender position, he's not really warm and fuzzy with the goaltenders. Stop the puck. That's their job. Just stop the puck. So there will be times where he is going to be maybe a little less patient. But I think coming into camp, it's, you know what, a goaltender to come and be a backup goaltender at a young age puts Korpisalo behind the eight ball early, but his attitude, and you're right, his sense of humor and him figuring out how to be a pro behind Bobrovsky, not playing and just working hard and practicing, which is not exactly what he wants to do. Those goalies have to get reps and play and play and stay sharp. So for him now to come in, I think that he's figured out a way to play that backup. He's anticipated this happening this year, so he's probably used last year in this offseason in the best way, and we'll see what happens. But he is in a good position to try to prove himself. There's another guy in the running, too, in Vevalainen. Mm-hmm. And he's a player from Finland who won the world championships. Finland was no chance. I think they had, like, under 30 NHL games experience. And Team USA and Team Canada had, like, over 300 or – it was a ridiculous amount of game experience. Might have been over 3,000 Canada had at the world championships. And this kid backstopped and got Team Finland a gold medal in the world championships this spring. That's a big deal. So this kid, I know there's a lot of hype on Elvis, and you know he's got charisma, and everyone wants to write about charisma and personality. They say he's the best goaltender outside the National Hockey League. That's tremendous. But there's a third horse in this race, and I think that we can't overlook the Finns. So two Finns and a guy that's played in he's from Austria, played in
Latvia.
Played in Switzerland. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this shakes out.
All right, now let me ask you this. As you were talking about all this and you were talking about Tortorella, this just struck me. If you look at the last three stops for Tortorella as a head coach, his goaltenders, Henrik Lundqvist in New York, Roberto Luongo when he got to Vancouver, Sergei Bobrovsky when he comes to Columbus. Now, if you go all the way back to when he was with Tampa, Nikolai Habibulin wins the Stanley Cup with him, and he was kind of juggling guys there until Habibulin finally settled in. But what I'm saying is this is the first time in a long time, at the very least, that John Tortorella does not inherit a superstar goaltender. He's going to get young guys looking to make their mark. How does that change with him, or does that change anything with him? Because he's always been dealing with a superstar between the pipes, and you say that he always has a little bit of rocky relationships with goaltenders. He doesn't tend to take to the superstars all that well. He tends to be a regular guy who takes to regular, hardworking people. So how do you see this shaking out?
Well, maybe that's why he hasn't had to deal with the goalies much, is because, you know, he doesn't understand them. He doesn't want to get in their way. And that's what he says with talent up front. He says, you know, I got to get out of their way. You're going to see more of a defensive game. John Tortorella's game, as the teams he's coached, they've always been very difficult to play against, especially in front of the net. He's going to resort to that. I think when you have a Bobrovsky, a two-time Vezina trophy finalist or winner, you can play a little looser. You can vacate the zone a little quicker because you're anticipating a save, a rebound, and then an exit. I think now you may see a lot more whistles in the defensive zone as far as plays around the goaltender, as far as protecting the goalie, taking the whistle, playing the small game down low. But I also think it's never been different. It's never been not been. I mean, training camp always sets the tempo for a brand of hockey, especially for the forwards, where they're up on the ice, but they got to be back. And with the way his defensemen have been rovers as far as Werenski, it'll be interesting to see how that role develops. It kind of undeveloped last season, Werenski as a rover. I think this year you'll see him more focused on defense in a lot of different areas. And I think that's crucial for the netminder. Listen, I've been asked about this a lot, and I want to reference football because this is a football town. And you know, football has just started, and everyone's excited about the Browns, who had a tough start to their season last week. But hopefully the Jets on Monday night, they can pick that up. You can have an elite quarterback and have a good team. But you can have an average quarterback that everyone wants to protect and wants to help. And when you're in that situation, your team can come together and rally around a quarterback. And I think a lot of these quarterbacks, you always hear about them taking care of their offensive line and, you know, they understand the value of the team in front of them. If you look at a quarterback like you look at a goaltender and you see guys in front of you like Corposalo, whoever gets the job is going to have, you'll see this team rally around their goaltender. I really do. I think that there's a thought of, you know, they didn't need to so much with Bobrovsky because he was so good. But I think, and they did. There was a natural camaraderie with the defense and everyone with Bobrovsky. The guys loved them. But I think there will be more of a, we're going to help you do this with this team. And I think you see that in football a little bit. And I think it goes a little further. So everyone's got the question mark in net. But I think, you know, hockey is the ultimate team game. I think there's sacrifices with blocking shots. I think there's attention to detail in front of your goaltender. And I think when there's a real compassion and a love for the guy between the pipes, especially when he's trying to prove himself, not already established, I think you're going to see that team evolve right in front of our eyes. And that is probably one of the most things I'm excited about this season.
And that's what we saw in the early summer with the St. Louis Blues. We saw a young Jordan Binnington who was looking to develop and a hardworking, not really a superstar team in front of them. And they just worked together. And they went from being dead last in, what was it, February? Or, you know, after the, well past the American Thanksgiving false deadline that people like
to say. Oh, that's gone.
No, that's way gone.
I mean, it's gone. Yeah. But I have two more comments on that. Carolina with two career backup goalies and the New York Islanders, two career backup goaltenders. So these were two teams that did great things last year by making the playoffs, not with a Vezina Trophy goalie. So let's all pump the brakes a little bit on that situation and understand what's going on in Columbus, Ohio.
And with those two examples, I've said this to people all summer too. It used to be if you came in and said in the summer, you know what, I think I'm going to play each of my goalies 40 games this year and that'll work. That used to look at you like you had three heads. Based on what those two teams did last year with those goalies, maybe this is – it's a competition what's going on here, but maybe somebody doesn't play 60-20. Maybe it is closer to 40-40.
Look at baseball. What's going on with the starting pitcher? I mean, are they – they're moving that? They're putting a guy in for an inning or an inning and a third?
Some are.
So he is like a reliever to start the
game?
Yeah. It's everything is evolving.
You know, well, that one is one that I can't wrap my head around. So, but you're right. It is evolving.
There is. The starting pitcher, the quarterback. Right. I mean, you look at some of the quarterbacks in the NFL. These young guys are coming in. And, I mean, Tom Brady is still going. But, I mean, the days of Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, they're going to disappear. So, better athletes, different reads. And that baseball. Well, maybe we'll talk about that another time, with what's going on with those pitchers.
I'm sure we will. I'm sure we can. We can do whatever we want. It's the Inside Edge presented by Kia on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back again to the Inside Edge here on 97.1 The Fan. It's presented by Kia. Bob McElligan, Jody Shelley with you. Blue Jackets camp opens officially tomorrow, and it'll be all the fun things that the players look forward to all summer, Jody, especially the two-mile run, the Tortorella run.
Well, it's, you know what? The two-mile run is an all-out eight-lap sprint at the track while the head coach and the assistant coaches and some scouts and I think some management are there just watching in the middle. And these are the days where John Tortorella, in the first 2 days of camp, where he's not going to say much. He's just watching body language. So the two-mile run then leads on to the on-ice testing where Torts has the rope. I don't know where he keeps that long yellow rope, but he ties it on one net and then ties it on the other net and then pushes those nets to the length of the rope. And that rope has got to stay taut as the players go around it. He doesn't want any any different. No one needs to run a shorter course with Torts. He keeps those nets as wide as he can, and those players have to do laps, three laps apiece, and I think they do six sets of three laps, which sounds easy, and then but it's not. And then they do a design skating course where, like, it's your legs leave you about halfway through, from what I hear. I never had the pleasure of doing it, but I've watched guys do it. And then halfway through, you have to decide that I'm just going to check out of my brain and finish this thing. And that's where Torts is watching to see who's pushing, who wants to leave an impression, and who has decided to pack it in. So not many guys have packed it in, but the guys that have in camp have had a really tough start to the season. So, yeah, it's that time of the year where the guys just, you know, the body fat testing, I think, is going to be done first thing in the morning. So that's a bit of a relief. They all have to be below 11%. So think about that, 11% body fat. I mean, I think 11% is hard to get to. I think the average.
Don't look at me because I can't.
I'm just sizing you up. I'd say you're probably about, I don't know, 16 or 18. I don't know.
But I thought you were going to say 60 or 80. So that's, I'll take this. I'll take what you said.
So anyways, yeah, they've worked to get there. And now they've got it. They just want to get. They want to get to Saturday. And here we are Wednesday night, the eve of camp. Their minds right now are just focused. If you're going to talk to them or see them anywhere, you're just talking. They're just talking to you. They're totally obsessed with the next 2 days. So that's how it's going to be. When they get to Saturday, they'll be relieved. But don't forget that once camp starts and that the testing is over with, they have a grueling portion of camp for like 6 days where practices and games are also meant to be tests. So I say they can't wait to get to Saturday. They can't wait to get there, and then they remember, oh, yeah, there's more to come. So, yeah, it'll be grueling, but it pays off in the end as a mental test, and Torch thinks it brings the group together. So that's fun. I mean, it's fun for us to talk about, but I think it's fun once they get through it.
Well, and Saturday is the day that you can get involved as well, because at the Ohio Health Ice House, the doors are going to open at 8 o'clock in the morning. The first practice session will begin at 9 o'clock. It's free admission, and the first 1,000 fans to come to Saturday's practice sessions get a long-sleeved Blue Jackets t-shirt courtesy of Ohio Health. They will practice, they will scrimmage, and that is coming up on Saturday. If you can't make it, you can see the scrimmages, as we're going to stream it at BlueJackets.com starting at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. I'll tell you more about that before the show is over. But, Jody, right now let's get to a guy that is in camp. We mentioned him a little bit ago, but Zach Werenski is here. He was one of a very long list of restricted free agents who hadn't agreed to terms with his team. Everybody was waiting to see, where's it going to break? Who's going to be the first guy that signs? Is everybody waiting for Mitch Marner and the Toronto Maple Leafs to set the standard here? But Zach Werenski said, I want to be in camp. I want to be there from day one. He takes a three-year, $15 million contract, which seems to be a win for him and a win for the Blue Jackets.
I agree. I mean, I love Zach's comments out of that when he spoke with the media, and he said, I used to play hockey for free. This is a lot of money to play hockey, and I can't wait to get the next contract done. I'll be here for the length of my career. And you know what? You can just hear the angst that the process this was for him. I'm glad he signed. He's thrilled. But that would be a tough process because you're waiting, you're wondering, you're hearing what they're offering. You like what they're offering. You just want to get with your buddies and get to camp. So good job by Zach. I like it. I mean, it's a lot of money. It's a bridge contract where ideally I don't see him. I think the argument for the Blue Jackets is, you know, you've done great things. You were up for the Rookie of the Year award your first year in the National Hockey League. You're an offensive defenseman. Things last year were good, but they weren't great. But we're not paying you more than Seth Jones. I mean, Seth Jones is at six, which is a great number for the team. And you're not getting more than Seth Jones. So that's the argument. So it is, okay, we'll give you a little bit below. They probably would have loved to have signed him on an eight-year deal at this number at five. But Zach is, he's a smart guy. He's signed short-term at a very good number. I think it's very fair for what he's doing right now. And, you know, maybe Zach gets up into that 8-9 range after these next 3 years. After 2 years, they can negotiate. So look for him to apply himself and try to get that big number. But I like it. It's team-friendly. And for me, it says a lot about Zach to say, hey, let's just do this and let's play hockey.
Yeah, and a couple of years ago, he saw his friend Josh Anderson miss out on camp, hold out, And, look, John Tortorella is the happiest guy in the world that Zach Werenski's in this camp. We know how Torts feels about guys holding out for whatever reason. He's here. He'll be ready to go on day one.
Yeah, that's, it's good for Zach. I mean, we know Zach. He's such a, it's a hockey mind. All he does is, I think he plays video games and he plays hockey. I know he plays a little Fortnite or whatever's going on there. But, he loves to be at the rink and with the guys. So, he would be thrilled to be here. And, the business side of it, it wasn't like I don't get the sense they were very far off. I didn't get the sense that Yarmo had any kind of worry as to how this was going to go. So, it's interesting. Everyone has agents, and I guess they need them. But it's pretty cut and dry as to where you fit in, and because we all know what everyone's making, and that changes the game as far as negotiations. I got this many points. I've been up for this many awards. I compared to these three players. This is what they make. This is what I should make. Yeah, so to hold out in camp now, it does seem a little silly, and I think the silliest is the guy in Toronto.
Yeah, Mitch Marner, big contract offer that he turned down, $11 million?
Eight years.
8 years, $11 million?
That's reported. And if that's true, I'm telling you, Bob, I don't know how you advise someone to turn down that kind of payday. Guaranteed money at, 22? Is he 22 years old? He's played, he just finished his third year in the National Hockey League. He's put up some spectacular numbers. But see, what happened there in Toronto is they've got a nucleus and a young nucleus that they've dreamt about for years. And one of them in Austin Matthews took a short-term deal at a high number. Instead of taking the max, which the team that owns your rights, they can sign to 8 years at a certain percentage. I think it's 20% of the cap hit. So I think the max was at 13, and he got 12 for 4 or 5 years, which he gave up the other 3 years, hedging his bet on himself to say, hey, if the cap keeps going up and I'm still the number one guy, I want to be paid like the number one guy. And I look at that, and I think, how much do you need? And then I look at Crosby, and I'm thinking, okay, 8.7, I think it's 8.75 million is the contract he signed. And think how low that is for one of the best players in the world. McDavid is making 14, I believe, or close to it. Matthews is up around the 12, 13, and now Marner turns down 11. So Sidney is Sidney understands the value of also being a part of a winning team. I think that there's a dynamic there. You can't take all the money. You've got to take a hometown discount. But Marner to turn down that deal, if that's what he got offered, it's reported by Bob McKenzie, who's a pretty reputable source. So that blows my mind. I'm not sure what you're looking for, but why would you take any short term? I believe if it's offered and it's big, you take it. You take the term and the money. That's always my advice.
Yeah, so it's going
That's
to be
what
interesting.
I would tell you, Bob.
Oh, well, I wish we were talking about that, but we're not. We're going to come back and wrap up this week's edition of The Inside Edge presented by Kia right after this on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to The Inside Edge presented by Kia. The Blue Jackets are opening camp tomorrow. We've got the scrimmage game starting along with practices on Saturday. Jody, there's going to be the first preseason game coming up next Tuesday. So by the time that we do this show again next week, there will be so much more. But for the players over these next couple of days, especially for the young players that are looking to make an impression, what's going to be most important for them?
Get off to a good start. And the biggest thing is to get through the testing and get that behind them. And then you have to be noticed. You can come in and there can be expectations, there can be excitement, and we know the guys that are going to be here with the Columbus Blue Jackets, but there's some guys who are going to want to make a case for themselves, not only to make the team out of camp, but to be the first call-up. So make an impression on the organization. Do whatever you have to do to stand out a little bit. And I think that there's a character. You got to have some character, but you got to have speed. You got to stand out. You got to contribute. You got to be just the all-around package in the locker room. I used to go to camp and try to be the top three in conditioning. I try to, do what I did the most, try to fight and make an impression, but also be a great teammate and let my teammates know that I'm there and I can be relied on. So these young kids, they're coming in from all over the world. They're excited to be here. And if you're a veteran player like Wenberg, if you're a young guy like, like Emil Bemström, who missed Traverse City but will be ready for camp, you've
you've got to come in and be a Blue Jacket and do it right away because, man, I'm telling you, there's two guys that are going to make it out of camp for sure in the forward spot, and who knows what's going to happen on D's. So great competition is healthy for the organization.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Bemstrom because you're right. He didn't get to play at Traverse City, so he didn't get to make any impressions there. Another guy, as you were saying that, I thought about Kevin Stenlin, who we saw briefly last year, who's a guy they still want to see more of, see if he can do more in this camp than he did in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, that's really where you're at with some of these players, and it's interesting. You talk about players for a few years. They come to camp. They go down. We see them briefly. Sonny Milano, he's still in the organization. He's played 8 NHL games in the National Hockey League. He's a player that now is at a crossroads. I mean, and that's what it gets to. 3 or 4 years with the organization. Now you see another opportunity. Who's going to be the one to take it? So, all these guys need to figure out where they can fit in because, there are front runners, but who doesn't love an underdog, especially John Tortorella? He'll pull for a guy if he believes in what he's done, especially starting with the testing and the first three preseason games.
Yeah, Sonny Milano is the best example for a guy that was a former number one pick, who's played in this league, and that he's not the first guy that comes to your mind in this conversation says something.
Marco Dano is back,
That's
too.
Right. That's right. Marco coming
first
in here.
First round pick.
And John Tortorella wasn't here the last time that he played here.
That's
so
right.
He'll look to make an impression, a good impression, with a new coach. Well, again, Saturday it gets underway. The fan part of this training camp will really open up at the Ohio Health Ice House. It will start at 9 o'clock is when the practices start. There'll be practices, there'll be scrimmages, but the doors will open up at 8 o'clock. Don't forget, if you're one of the first 1,000 fans, you will receive a long sleeve t-shirt courtesy of Ohio Health. That is going to be on Saturday at the Ice House. We'll also stream the scrimmages for you at BlueJackets.com. We'll be on from about 10 until 12. So that's going to do it for tonight's edition of the Inside Edge. Thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.